In the year 1553, Queen Mary took the throne of England. She succeeded Edward VI, and she's commonly referred to as Bloody Mary due to her incessant hatred and her terrible and brutal persecution of those who held to the Protestant faith. The Reformation had started in England under Henry VIII whenever he had removed the Pope as head of the Church of England, and he had been put in his place instead. But after his death, Edward VI had continued on with this. But then when Queen Mary came, she began to reverse all of the changes. She began to persecute those who rejected the teachings and the authority of the Roman Church. And as soon as she had ascended that throne, she set about arresting and imprisoning and all those various men who'd been instrumental in the work of the Reformation. Some of those arrested, they included men such as Thomas Cranmer, Nicholas Ridley and Hugh Latimer. In the year 1555, Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, they were taken out in Oxford and they were burnt at the stake for refusing to recant their beliefs and to return to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. As these faithful men were fastened to the stakes there in Oxford, as the wood was piled around them, and as the fire was lit, Hugh Latimer came out with these words. He spoke these words. He said, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle, by God's grace in England, as I trust shall never be put out." What great words they were. And in the year 1558, 3 years later, Queen Mary died. And her half-sister, Elizabeth I, she came to the throne. And Elizabeth was a Protestant, and once again the English Reformation recommenced and continued. If we were to study English church history since that moment, even to this very day, I think we can say certainly that that candle that was lit has never gone out. There's certainly many great moments when the candle, the light has shone brightly. We think of those days of revival under George Whitefield when 10 and 20 and 30 and 40,000 would have come to hear him preach. We think of many souls who were won in London under C.H. Spurgeon. But there's also been times when the light has been dimmer. There's been times when the light has appeared to be almost extinguished. But yet, the Lord has always preserved it. We could state that today in our land, both here in Ulster but also in England, the light has got dim. It has got very dim. We have really become a secular country. Many have rejected and ridiculed the truth of God. Believers are mocked for their faith. Ungodliness is a hallmark of today's society. The things which go against God's word are considered normal. But yet we can thank the Lord that there is still a remnant of people who are faithful and who keep that light shining. The candle is still burning. It has never been put out. But this morning, the verses I wish to take as my text are the verses 14 to 16 of Matthew chapter 5, which we read together. And they refer to the light of the world. Those verses, they read, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And as we consider this passage this morning, I just want to note a number of thoughts on the light of the world that is spoken of here. And the first thought that I have is, we see the particulars of the light. And it's no secret that light is an essential component for life on this earth. Without life, nothing could really survive. And we note that on the first day of creation, light was created by the Lord. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Without that light, nothing could function, nothing could live. But in the text before us, we note those words that we just read, "Ye are the light of the world." And we must understand what is meant. And of course, it is not speaking of the literal light that was created on that first day of creation. But really, it is being used as a term of comparison. And when we think of how the light shines forth, or light shines forth from a lamp or from a torch or from a candle, or we could use the sun perhaps as an example. We can compare that to how the Christian is to shine forth in this world. The light in this case, it describes the believer. It describes the Christian. It describes the one who is born again, the one who has been redeemed. And the fact that the Lord said this himself is proof enough that this is what the light of the world is here. But there's other scripture references we can consider to further support the fact that the believer is to be the light of the world. We note Philippians and the chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Verse 15, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." The Apostle Paul there is saying to the believers that they are to shine as lights in the world, even though the world around them, it might be full of darkness, it might be full of the wicked things of life. They were to shine as lights for the Lord. We also can note, we could look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse number 8. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." The believer is to walk as children of light. There was a day when the believer, he walked in the days of darkness. There was a day whenever he walked in the ways of the world, in the ways of sin and iniquity. There was a day whenever he was dead in trespasses and sins. But since his conversion, he is no longer in darkness. He is no longer darkness. Rather, he is now light in a dark world. The light of the gospel of Christ is to be shown through his life. And that brings glory to the Lord and serves as a witness to others. The believer is the light of the world. And in the believer, the light, it is shown through his actions, through his deeds. It is shown through all that he does, whatever he speaks, whatever he says. And as we live from day to day, it should be our desire to show this light to those who we live among. We should desire to be an example of what a true believer should be. We should seek to honour the word of God, to do all things in accordance with his will. And the Lord, he has given us a responsibility to shine. He has commanded us to shine. We have a duty as believers to shine for the Lord. But we know that good works, they flow from conversion. Whenever a man is saved, he is saved to do good. But the person, we can say, who has been saved, he should desire to obey the commandments of God. And yes, he ought to love his neighbour. He ought to pray for those who persecute him. He ought to treat people as really as well as he can. He ought to be the model citizen. But yet, these good works do not make somebody the light of the world. They do not save someone's soul. We refer to Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 8 to 10. Many of us, I'm sure, know these verses off by heart, but we'll read them anyway. Verse 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Works do not save us. Works do not make us the light of the world. Rather, we see here the clear order that works follows faith. It is not the other way around. How do we receive that light? How do we become the light of the world? It is not by our works. Our works flow from that. Rather, it is through faith in Christ. That is the means of salvation, and that is how one becomes a light in such a dark world. This morning, have you done so? Are you the light of the world? Have you come and placed your faith in Christ? Or are you perhaps thinking, "I'm a good person. I wouldn't do a bad turn to anyone. I come to church twice in a Sunday." Maybe you attend the prayer meeting. Maybe you even help out in various things in the church. Maybe those around you think that you are a Christian. But yet deep down, you know the only thing you're depending on is that when you come to that judgment seat, that you can say, well, I went to church, I did this, I did that, I did the other. But the scriptures tell us that salvation, it is not of works. It is not something that we can boast of, that we have done something ourselves. It is all of the Lord. But secondly, this morning, note with me the prominence of the light. We've noted the particulars of the light, but now we note the prominence of the light. We note the words there in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now those words before men, they show us that this light, it is to be seen by all. It is not to be hidden. It's not to be tucked away in some wee corner and perhaps never seen to the outside world, never seeing it. Rather, it is to be done openly. It's to be exhibited widely, openly, for all to see across this world. We are given various examples in this passage. There are two in this particular passage that illustrate this. We note firstly in verse 14, we see the city. It says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And that compares this light with a city on a hill. And it's a great illustration. We can maybe picture the scene if we're walking down a road. And as we come perhaps down a straight road, we see this city on a hill. We couldn't miss it. We think of perhaps a city and it has maybe those great skyscrapers and all sorts of things that cities have. And it would be impossible to walk past it and not to notice it and see there is a great city. In the same manner, we are to be unmissable for those who walk past us, for those who see us. We are to be unmissable as we shine forth our lights, as we shine forth for Christ. We are to be spotted by those in the world, and they should know by the way that we act, by the way that we live, by the way that we treat them and that we treat others. They should know that we are the Lord's. But we note also the other illustration, which is of the candle. In verse 15, it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. This example, it really uses a common sense or a logical argument, because no one in their right mind would light a candle, or we maybe think of today, we use things like torches. We wouldn't dream of lighting a torch and then just putting it under a cushion or something so that the light would be useless. Rather, whenever we light a candle or we use a torch or something, we want to use it. We want it to be seen. We want to see with it. The light, it is to be exhibited widely. It is to be exhibited openly. It is for all to see. It is not to be put under a bushel, but rather it is to give life. And again, we note those words. It giveth light unto all that are in the house. It is to give light to all. Again, this proves the great fact that as Christians, our light is to shine forth for all of the world to see. We are to be like a lighthouse as it shines on a dark, stormy night out at sea. And it shines brightly in order to help ships to avoid danger. The light is to be seen in all things. It is to be seen at all times. It is to be given the prominence. There's no holidays from shining this light, for it is to be prominent all the time. We are to take this very seriously. And this morning, if we were to ask our friends, family, neighbours, those we work with, would they bear witness to the fact that the light is shining with us? Would they think that we were the light of the world? Maybe the light is not shining prominently with you at all. Maybe there's just a little flicker every now and then. Maybe there's a little flicker, just it sort of switches on a wee bit on a Sunday morning when you come out to the house of God. But then when you go home, the light just goes out again. Maybe during the week it's as dark as midnight. But this light is to be prominent. It's to be switched on all the time, no matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter what we say. The believer is to be shining for the Lord. There are many things that can prevent this light from having the prominence and that great place in our lives. We think of sin. If we are engaged in sin against God, it can greatly dim our light. We cannot expect, when we are engaging in rebellion against the commands of God, that our light will be shining as it ought. The Scriptures clearly teach us that we are to obey God. Many today, they sadly like to pick and choose what laws in Scripture they obey, even those who profess Christ. They pick the ones that they like and don't really hinder them from doing anything, and then the ones that they don't like, they just throw them out and they say, well, it doesn't maybe mean that anymore. We think especially of the Lord's Day when it comes to honouring the one day in seven. We see that their minds change and they start to come out and say, oh, well, you know, it doesn't really mean that now. You know, that law is not valid anymore. Others, maybe they claim that the government can't tell the believer what to do in any circumstance. And I think of a conversation I had with a young man maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and we were just talking about speed limits and various other things really to do with cars. And his view was that because he was a believer, he obeyed God's word, and the Bible didn't tell him that he had to drive his car at 30 mile an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone. That was his view. He was genuine, sincere about that. His view was he could drive whatever speed he wanted, and he carried that right through with everything. But that's not what Scripture teaches. God's word tells us that we are to obey those who have the rule over us. It tells us to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And as long as what the government legislates does not breach the word of God, we ought to obey it. But our light, it can also be dimmed by laziness. There are many, and well, maybe when it comes to something taking place in the church, they're too tired to go out. There are many, perhaps, maybe whenever it comes to shining for the Lord, they're hindered by fear. I think of someone who I met a number of years ago with a group of other believers, and they lived in a certain part of Northern Ireland. I'll not name which part, but it was an area that they lived in, and they were a genuine, sincere believer. They read their Bible every day. They spent time in prayer. But because of where they lived, they were afraid to profess publicly that they were a believer. They were afraid to really shine forth for the Lord. And fear can hinder. Also, persecution can hinder. And again, that really ties in with fear. But our light, our shining for the Lord, it can also be dimmed by pride. This is a very serious matter, for it is very easy, and I'm sure many of us have seen it time and time again, where people, they've got carried away with preeminence and position, whether that's in the workplace, whether it's in society in general, whether it's in the church, wherever it is, people can get carried away, and they begin to forget that really they are believers. They ought to be living by biblical principles and shining forth for the Lord. What happens is the biblical principles are scrapped. They're put to the side and they're replaced by that desire just for more and more power. And they're replaced by compromise, lies, scheming, swindling, and all sorts as people try to climb to the top. That is not how we're supposed to be. Rather, we ought to ensure that we are living in accordance with the Scriptures. And we should seek to shine for the Lord. For when we fail to shine, it gives the people around us, those who are outside of Christ, it gives them opportunity to mock. It gives them opportunity to make little of the name of Christ. It can become a stumbling block. May we seek to ensure that each one of our lights is shining prominently. That they are shining bright, that the people who we live around, those who are our neighbours, family members, those who we work with, may they know that when they look at us and think, that man or that lady, he is a man or a woman of God. May our focus be to shine for the Lord and never to cause dishonour to be brought to his name. But finally, this morning, we note the purpose of the light. The purpose of the light. Why are we to shine? Why are we to shine so prominently? Well, I believe we have the answer to this in the passage in verse 16. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I believe the answer is twofold, and we can break it into two sections. And firstly, we have an example to the unconverted. We are to show men how they ought to be living by our example. We are light in a dark world. If we live unruly and careless lives, we cannot be an example. We cannot tell others how to live if we are not living that way ourselves, for that would result in us being hypocrites. We must take note that the world, and especially today, we see it getting worse and worse year by year. It is in the grip of ungodliness. It is dark. In this day, like in the days of the book of Judges, the days of the judges, people are doing that which is right in their own eyes. They judge matters by their own views. They make their own mind up in something, and that becomes the right way. They do not judge matters by the word of God. But it is our duty as believers to set forth a biblical example. To set forth a biblical and a godly example through our works. And also by doing that we testify of the light of the gospel. We show them the light of Christ within us. We are to show them the more proper and the better way of living their lives. We think of the words over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." We are to seek to engage in things that are honest, and we see many things listed in this verse. We are to engage in these things. In the things that are right, the things that are in accordance with the word, to be an example to the unconverted. They are not just to hear words, but they are to see actions. They often say that action speaks louder than words. And some, I remember as well being told many years ago that often the only Bible that the unbeliever, the world reads, is the testimony of a believer. And we ought to seek to be the best testimony that they could see. When it comes to spiritual matters, we are also to shed light on these things, and that is done through the preaching of the word, and it is done through the work of evangelism. For we know the people living in darkness, they do not understand, they cannot comprehend the things of Scripture, they do not know right from wrong. The great commentator, Matthew Henry, he stated on this verse, he said, "Let them see your good works, that they may be convinced of the truth and excellency of the Christian religion." But it's not just to be an example. It is also to exalt the Lord. We are also to shine brightly. Not for our own exaltation, note, but it is for the glorification of God. We are not to shine brightly to glorify ourselves as the Pharisees were renowned for. They were known for their self-righteous religion, which was to make them look good, to make them look more spiritual and holy than others. That is not what we are seeking to do. That is not what we are to do. That is not how we shine for the Lord. But rather, we are to seek to glorify God in all things that we do. We are to glorify Him in everything. 1 Corinthians and the chapter 10 and the verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 tells us, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." We do it to glorify God. That is the chief end of man. The verse tells us clearly, the last couple of words, "and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are to glorify God by shining for Him. By our deeds, we cause others to give glory to God. We think of the change in the believer whenever he is converted. We have seen, when we look through and we read, whether it's biographies or we maybe hear the testimonies of the saints of God, we see many who were caught in the clutches of sin and iniquity, and they have been changed wondrously. No scheme of man could ever have changed such people, but rather it was the work of God, and it does give glory unto the Lord. But by our deeds we are to cause those around us not to put the spotlight on us, but rather to put the spotlight on the Lord and to glorify Him. This morning, We have noted various thoughts about the light of the world. We've noted the particulars of the light, what it is and how it is shone, how it is to be revealed or shown to the world. We've noted how it is received. We must come to the Lord in faith. We must repent of our sin. We must believe on his name. We've noted the prominence that the light is to be given and how it is to be seen like a city on a hill. It's like the candle. It is to be like a lighthouse on a dark night. We've also noted the purpose of the light and why we are to shine. We are to be an example and we are to exalt and glorify the Lord. We think of the words of the hymn writer. It says, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, to shine for him each day, in every way try to please him, at home, at school, at play. We ought to want to be a sunbeam shining for the Lord. This morning, are you shining for the Lord? Are you shining for his glory? Are you bringing glory to him and setting that example to others? Are you the light of the world? I trust this morning that you are shining for him. But maybe there's one sitting here and you're thinking, I would love to shine, but I know I'm not right with God. I know I need to be saved. But you're thinking, I don't know what to do. How can I get saved? But this very morning, you can call on the Lord's name for his salvation. The scriptures tell us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call on him for his great salvation, he will save you. Scriptures teach us the way of salvation. They tell us that every man is a sinner, that he is condemned to be lost. But they tell us that God sent his Son to die on the cross at Calvary, where he shed his precious blood in order to save his people. We note the words of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you believed on the Lord this morning? Have you trusted in him? Are you one of the light of the world? Are you the light of the world? I trust this morning that you are, and that if you are already saved, that you will continue to shine, and that you will shine brighter and brighter even as the days go on. May the Lord bless his word this morning. Amen. We'll just